I'm so grateful for the ministry of deacons in this church. We have amazing deacons that serve and serve faithfully and coordinate and lead and give of themselves. And on occasion, we get a chance to hear them not just from their works, but also in the words as they deliver the word of God. So I want to thank, and I'd like us to welcome Matthew Simula as he comes and shares the word with us this morning.
Well, good morning, church. I'm excited to share this word with you, this message with you this morning. I'd like to first thank Pastor Daniel for extending the invitation for me to be able to be up here and preach. And he shares his platform with me. It's a tremendous honor for me to be able to be up here, and it's not something I take lightly. So thank you, Pastor Daniel, for the opportunity. Well, the last time I was up here speaking was Father's Day 2017, and I had a great time doing it. But as we all know from the movie industry, the sequel rarely outperforms the original, with one rare and obvious exception being the Mighty Ducks 2 movie. Come on, we do not need to argue about this. This is a clear fact. That movie was so great, right? You have these kids that got to form this dream team of sorts. They got to go and compete in this Olympic-style event. Emilio Estevez was at the peak of his acting career. This movie far surpassed the original Mighty Ducks. But in most cases, the sequel fails to outperform the original. The good news is, this is preaching the Bible. This is not the movie industry. So by God's grace, I'm believing for great things this morning. Amen? Well, Daniel has been going through a series he's titled A Beautiful Story. And this has been a look at the life of Jesus through the book of John. And while I'm going to deviate off of this path this morning, I do want to stick with the theme of beauty. As I've titled this message this morning, Beauty in Weakness. It's my aim this morning, church, to get us all to consider taking off the masks that we so often wear to disguise our true self, to admit to ourselves that we are not as good or as strong or as capable as we'd like to think we are, to embrace our weaknesses, our difficulties, our pain, our struggles, our hard seasons of life, to show us that coming to terms with our condition, of being truthful about our condition, can have a significant impact both vertically on our relationship between us and God, and also horizontally as we relate to the people around us, the people that we do life with every day. And ultimately to show us that there is purpose for our pain, that there is opportunity for growth in the midst of our groaning, and there is wins to be had in our weaknesses. So that's where we are headed this morning, church. Would you take a moment and pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach this message. I pray that the words I speak would be your words, Lord. I pray that the thoughts that I convey would be your thoughts. And I pray that each and every person here would leave this place this morning encouraged, with their spirits lifted, because of the proclamation of your gospel. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, this word weakness, as it's found in Scripture, comes from the Greek word asthenia, meaning a feebleness of body or mind, a lack of strength and capacity required to do something. So this word weakness has both physical and spirit-soul aspects to it. We all understand the physical aspects of weakness is something we deal with every day. Lacking physical strength, we don't need to spend a whole lot of time there. But what we oftentimes neglect is the spirit and soul aspect of the word weakness, where we feel downcast spirit, where we feel anguish of soul, where we have difficult, hard, challenging circumstances and seasons of life, where our internal, our soul is heavy and weighted down. This world conditions us to believe that only the strong survive. I'm sure we've all heard that phrase many times. Or as Darwin put it, survival of the fittest. And even in Christian circles, we are so often encouraged to find and to develop our strengths. And this is useful, to be sure, there's no doubt. But if all we ever do is focus on our strengths, walking around with masks, pretending like we're strong enough, pretending like we're capable enough to handle the seasons of life, to handle the circumstances of life on our own, we will miss out on many great blessings that the Lord would want to reveal in us that only manifest themselves in our weakness. We can confidently say that in God's kingdom, there is a place, there is room, and there is a necessity for us to embrace our weaknesses. You see, church, we are free to embrace our imperfections because Jesus was perfect for us. We are free to embrace our faults because Jesus was faultless for us. And we are free to embrace our weaknesses because Jesus was strong for us. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the text verse that I want to launch from this morning, that I want to read from this morning, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have a phone with the YouVersion app, you can pull up Living Way Church on the app. You can follow along with my notes, and you can follow along with the passages we're going to read this morning. If you don't have either, there's a blue Bible in your pew. You can use that Bible this morning, and when we dismiss, take that Bible home with you. It's yours to keep. We want you to have a Bible in your hands. Reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 5, Paul addresses the Corinthian church, and he says this about weakness. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul, at least on the surface, appears to make some fairly outlandish statements in this passage. First, he says that he delights in weakness. He does not say that he tolerates weakness. He does not say that he puts up with weakness. He does not even say that he accepts weakness, even though he doesn't like it. He says he delights in weakness. How is it possible, we say, for any human to delight in weakness, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulty, in pain? It doesn't seem to make sense. And then Paul goes on and he concludes this passage by saying, when I am weak, then I am strong. It appears to be a contradictory statement. How can someone be both weak and strong at the same time? It doesn't seem to make sense. But what Paul understood about his life was this, that God's strength is most evident in us when we are most surrendered to him. He understood that it required full surrender on his part in order to fully manifest God's strength in his life. The great theologian, pastor, preacher, author Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, great tribulation brings about the great strength of God. If you never feel inward conflicts and sinking of soul, you do not know much of the upholding power of God. But if you go down, down into the depths of soul anguish, till the deep threatens to shut her mouth upon you, and then the Lord rides upon a cherub and does fly, yea, rides upon the wings of the wind, and delivers your soul and catches you away to the third heaven of delight, then you will perceive the majesty of divine grace. Oh, there must be the weakness of man felt, recognized, and mourned over, or else the strength of the Son of God will never be perfected in us. This is what Charles Spurgeon was getting at. This is what the Apostle Paul understood when he wrote 2 Corinthians 12. This is what would benefit us so greatly to understand this morning, is that when we embrace our difficulties, when we embrace our weaknesses, when we stop pretending like everything is okay, we open up for ourselves avenues of beauty where God can draw us into a deeper, more lasting, more committed relationship with him. And also when we take off the mask, stop pretending like we're okay, when we start letting other people see us for who we really are, just a bunch of sinners saved by a gracious Savior, We open up for ourselves avenues of beauty where our relationships around us can now flourish, where we can have more meaningful, more transparent, more authentic relationships with the people around us. Well, with the time I have left this morning, I want to give a 17. No, I don't want to give you 17. I want to give you, we only have a few minutes. I want to give you three what I'm calling blessings born from our weakness. Three blessings born from our weakness. The first one is this: embracing our weakness energizes our prayer life. In verse 8 of our text verse, Paul said he pleaded with the Lord to take away this thorn in his flesh. He pleaded with the Lord. This is not a casual word. This is a very active word. This is a very passionate word. This is a word of great seriousness. He was not, "God, I would really like you to take away this issue in my life, but if you don't, I'll be fine." This was a serious pleading of the Lord. Maybe I'm going to be the only one here this morning to take off this mask. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Yes, Matt, that resonates with me. Yes, Matt, I understand that. But when things in my life are going well, when there's health in my family, everyone's doing well, when there's money in the bank, when there's the bills are paid, when my relationships are in harmony, I find it very easy to slack off in spiritual disciplines. I find it very easy to lose the consistency and the fervency of my prayer life. But oh, when things start to go bad, when there's health concerns in the family, when there are financial difficulties, when there is relational strife, oh, do I ever know the necessity to get before God in prayer, to get on my knees in prayer, to seek the Lord in prayer in diligent, consistent fashion. Embracing our weakness energizes our prayer life. Let me give you a couple examples from the Bible. The first one is this. It's found in 2 Chronicles 20. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat. Perhaps you're familiar with King Jehoshaphat. He was a good king. He was one of the many kings in the long line of kings of Judah. And he was a good king. He was a king who followed after the Lord. He was a king who obeyed the Lord. He was a king who did right by the Lord, who sought to do the things that the Lord commanded him to do. And one day, King Jehoshaphat got some bad news. One of his officials came to him and said, "King, we're about to be under attack by a vast army from outside of our kingdom. This army is bigger than us. This army is stronger than us. This army is more well equipped than us. This army is larger than us. We have no chance to defeat this army. We are surely going to perish in this battle." If you're like me and you enjoy sports, you watch sometimes the NCAA basketball tournament. This is a great sporting event. This sporting event is a little bit strange in the fact that they make the worst team play the best team. The number 16 seed in this tournament has to play the number 1 seed in this tournament, and invariably what happens is the 16th team gets crushed every single time. It's not close. It's a mismatch. Well, this is what King Jehoshaphat and his people, the people of Judah, were facing in this scenario. This was a battle they were never going to win. They were going to die in this battle. There was no way around this. Well, King Jehoshaphat knew what he had to do. In his time of weakness, in his time of difficulty, in his time of great pain and struggle, he knew that he had to get before God and pray. He knew that he had to seek the Lord in fervent and consistent prayer. And so we pick up the story in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. It says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." The next few verses go on to recount this prayer that King Jehoshaphat made, where he went back into his life and he remembered all the things and all the ways that Jesus was faithful to him, that God was faithful to him in his life. And he concludes the prayer this way in verse 12. He says, "For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Let me make this point, church. For us to receive the full measure of God's strength in our life, the first thing we have to do is we have to admit that we can't do it ourselves. We have to admit that we're powerless to do it ourselves. We have to admit that we are lacking the strength, the capacity, the skill, the talent to do it ourselves. And that is what King Jehoshaphat recognized. He says, "I'm powerless in this circumstance, in this season of my life. I cannot do this myself, but my eyes are on you. Embracing our weakness energizes our prayer life. Let me give you another example, just from the New Testament and from the life of Jesus. It's in Luke 22, and when we think of Jesus, we often think of Jesus as King Jesus. Jesus who sits at the right hand of God and rules and reigns over all the earth, and certainly this is Jesus. But when Jesus came to this earth, he was also 100% human. And when he walked on this earth, Jesus experienced all the things that we experience. He experienced all the pain, all the hurt, all the emotions, all the trials, all the tribulations that we experience. It was all as real to Jesus as it is real to us. And this was never more evident in Jesus' life than when he was about to go to the cross, when he knew that his time was coming to make a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Can we imagine the pain, the agony, the suffering, the weakness of spirit that Jesus felt in these moments? And the story is told in Luke 22. As Jesus enters the Garden of Gethsemane, it says this, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed." Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew he had to get alone with the Father. He knew he had to get alone with his Father. He needed to get on his knees in fervent and consistent and passionate prayer in his most serious time of weakness. He says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Let me tell you this, church, when you get serious with God in prayer, when you get on your knees in prayer, when difficult times come, when difficult seasons come, and you commit to energize your prayer life, you may not see an angel appear in your midst, but you will have the Holy Spirit interceding on your behalf, pleading your case before the Father. Appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. This is a prayer that Jesus had never prayed before. This is a level of passion in his prayer life that Jesus had never reached before, to the point where he sweated blood. This is a man, our Savior, who knew what he needed to do when he was facing extreme difficulty, weakness, hardship in his life. He knew he needed to get before the Father and pray consistently. Embracing our own weakness, church, energizes our prayer life. It refocuses our prayer life. It gets us excited about prayer again. And this is a great blessing from God that only manifests itself in our weakness. Let me give you a second beautiful truth and blessing that comes only from our weaknesses. Embracing our weakness conditions us to extend grace and mercy to others. This is so important, church. When we read through the gospel accounts, when we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it becomes very evident very quickly that the Pharisees had a significant problem with self-righteousness. This problem had them in the crosshairs of Jesus all the time. They always thought of themselves as better than other people. And because of this, they were always operating from a place of judgment and condemnation rather than a place of grace and mercy. And if we're not careful, this can happen to us too. We can start to believe that maybe we are okay on our own. Maybe we are doing just fine on our own. Maybe we are better than that person over there or that person outside of these walls. Embracing our weakness, our faults, our difficulties, our hard seasons of life conditions our hearts to extend grace and mercy to others. Jesus tells this parable in Luke 18. Starting in verse 9, he says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt." Let me pause for a second and make this point. This is why self-righteousness is so dangerous and so destructive in our lives, because it always goes hand in hand with contempt for other people. That's exactly what this just said. They themselves, who thought they were righteous, led to them treating others with contempt. We can't think of ourselves as better than other people and also extend compassion to other people and also be gracious towards other people and also be merciful towards other people. These things do not work in harmony. That is why we have to maintain a humbleness in our hearts. This parable goes on to say, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. And this is for free. I'm not going to charge you for this. Don't pray like this guy prayed, okay? God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, oh, that we would pray like this, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is why weakness and difficulty and pain and hard seasons of life are so beneficial to us, because it keeps us humble. It keeps us on our knees before God. It keeps us with a rightly orientated mindset where we don't feel like we're better than other people. I love this quote. The better we think we are, the more judgmental we will be. If we understand ourselves and no one else to be the chief of sinners, we will be increasingly gracious and forgiving. Isn't that so true, that we would need to be on a level playing field with the people that we may think are not as well off as us, are not as spiritually mature as us, are not as well behaved as us? We put ourselves on a level playing field with them, and now we open up opportunities for us to extend grace and mercy. Well, let me give you another story. This one found in Luke 14. This is a parable about a master who wanted to throw a party. He wanted to throw a banquet for the people of the city and the town. And Jesus tells this parable. This master sends his servant out to invite the people of the city to come to this party, to come to this banquet. And the people of the city that he first invites are all maybe the best dressed, the best behaved people of the city, maybe the people that are of most importance in the city, the people that seem to have their acts together in the city, the people that are maybe the most contributing members of society get this invitation. And what happens in this story is that one by one, when the party is set to begin, these people start to decline the invitation. They start to say, it's not for me. I got other things to do. I'm busy. I have other events that I'd rather be attending than this party, than this banquet. And this upsets the master. And we pick up the story in Luke 14, verse 21. He says this, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, bring in the crippled, bring in the blind, bring in the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. When we embrace our weakness, we embrace the fact that we are no different than anybody else, it conditions our heart to extend grace and mercy to others. Oh, that we would be a community of believers here in this church, here in this city, here in this town, that when these doors of this sanctuary are opened up on a Sunday morning, that we would say, yes, come in. All of you out there, come in. Bring your baggage. Bring your sin. Bring your lame. Bring it in here. Sit before the Lord. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Drink of the grace and the mercy that's been offered to us, that we're drinking of. Don't clean yourselves up first. Come in here first. Be encouraged by the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid for your sins, that that grace and that mercy would be extended to every single person who's outside these walls. We have an opportunity in a couple weeks to go outside of these walls and to be able to share the love of Jesus with the community. Let's make it a point to be on level playing field with these people, not to think of ourselves as better than them, not to look at ourselves as talking down to them, but to understand that we are all in this boat together. We are all just a bunch of sinners saved by a gracious Savior. Oh, what a difference that would make in our witness, right? Amen. Well, the third And the final blessing born from our weakness that I'd like to share with you this morning is this. Embracing our weakness allows the power of Christ to sustain us. I love this thought. This is in verse 9 of our text verse. Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ will rest upon me. I love this thought. We really don't believe God's grace and power is sufficient to sustain us until we believe we are insufficient. We have to decrease in our own mind. We have to decrease and lessen our own view of ourselves for the full measure of Christ's power to sustain us. I want to give you one more story from the Bible. This also comes from the Old Testament, from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And this is the story of King Uzziah. Perhaps you've heard this story. Perhaps you've read this story. This is a story that started out so well. This is a story that had success written all over it. But it's a story that ended so tragically. And it's a cautionary tale for each and every one of us this morning. King Uzziah was yet another king in the long lines of kings of Judah. The Bible says King Uzziah was king since he was 16 years old. The Bible says that he was king for 52 years. And he was a good king. He was a king that followed after the Lord. He was a king that obeyed the Lord. He was a king that did right by the Lord. And you can read in 2 Chronicles 26 all of the exploits of King Uzziah. We don't have time to read them this morning, but you can go in there and you can read about all the amazing things that he accomplished in his life, all the things that God blessed him and allowed him and poured favor out on his life to be able to accomplish, from building the city, expanding the city, expanding the military, raising great amount of wealth for himself and for the kingdom. He did amazing feats, all at account of what the Lord blessed him with. But at some point along the line, King Uzziah lost sight of how he got to where he was. King Uzziah lost sight of where his strength came from, of who allowed all these blessings in his life, of who poured out all this favor on his life. He began to read his own press clippings. He began to think that he was strong enough in himself. He began to think that he was good enough in himself. He began to think that he was more talented and talented enough to be able to do all the things that he did. And so he lost sight of God and God's strength and God's favor and God's blessing on his life. And the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 26. It's a very short verse, but it's a very profound verse, and it's a very cautionary tale for us. It says this, and King Uzziah's fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. What happened to King Uzziah? What does this mean? He was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he grew strong, he grew proud, and it led to his destruction. King Uzziah got his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes off of who was blessing his life, off of who was the reason for the increase and the blessing and the favor in his life. He began to read his own press clippings and believe that he was the one that caused all these great things to happen in his life. And so this caused pride to well up in his heart. Oh, that we would embrace our weakness, humble ourselves to understand and catch a point that embracing our weakness allows Christ to sustain us, allows the power of Christ to sustain us. So King Uzziah, the Bible says, he got so proud in his own heart, he went and sinned against the Lord. He went and made an offering in the temple that he wasn't allowed to make. It was only for the priest to make. And God punished King Uzziah for this sin by striking him with leprosy. And now this once great king who ruled all these people, who had so much wealth, prosperity, authority, position, was cast out from his kingdom. He was exiled. He was put into isolation, no longer allowed to fellowship with his kingdom, no longer allowed to be king over this kingdom. The Bible says that Uzziah died a leper. He never recovered from this mistake that he made of trusting in himself rather than trusting in the Lord. Oh, that we would be a people who always come back to humbling ourselves. And the way that we come back to humbling ourselves It's through our weakness. It's through embracing hardship, pain, difficulty, suffering. Because it keeps us humble. It keeps us dependent on God. And when we're dependent on God, we do not run the risk of being overtaken by pride. Well, I want to close with one more quote from Charles Spurgeon. He says this, "It is not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It is not our weakness that hinders Christ, it is our strength. It is not our darkness that hinders Christ, it is our supposed light that holds back his hand." Oh, that we would be humble servants. Oh, that we would be people who put ourselves on the same level playing field as the people around us, as the people that we sit next to in these pews, of the people that we encounter in the world. Oh, that we would use our weakness to drive us to pray more earnestly, more consistently, and more fervently. I'd like to have you all stand with me this morning. I'd like to have the worship team come forward as we begin to wind down this service. My hope this morning, church, is that you are encouraged that there are many great blessings and great beauties that are found and manifest themselves only in our weakness. That there is purpose for our pain. There is opportunities for growth in the midst of our groaning. That there are wins to be had in our weakness. It is my prayer, my hope, that we would each learn to embrace our weaknesses. To, as Paul did, find joy in weakness. Find delight in weakness. Because if we do that, it will drive us to a more committed and more lasting, a more real and authentic relationship with God. And that this morning we would be willing as a church family to take off the masks, that we'd stop pretending that we're strong enough, that we'd stop pretending that we're good enough, that we'd stop pretending that we're capable enough in and of ourselves to manage our way through this life, these difficult seasons and challenging seasons that we all go through in life. And in doing so, this would open up for ourselves avenues of beauty where we can have more authentic, more real, more transparent relationships with the people around us. Would you pray with me this morning, church? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you've saved us, that you've called us, not by our own good works, not by our own abilities or talents have we been saved, Lord, but it's by the grace of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that as each and every one of us go through difficult seasons of life, go through hard times in our life, that we would be driven to a passionate place of prayer with you, as it would make much of you. That we would be conditioned to extend grace and mercy to others in our time of weakness, as it would make much of you and your glory. And that we would embrace weakness so that we can rely solely on you to be our strength. We can rely solely on you to be our portion, and that we can give you all the glory, that we would make much of you in these difficult seasons that we face in life. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you, Lord God, that you are actively working and saving in this community, in this church body, in this city. We pray for a continued blessing on all the people here this morning. And everybody said, amen. Jake, let's sing. Come on.